Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Zanbergen, and this is Radio West, broadcasting live from Hudson's Hope. It is a wee bit cold out here on the banks of the Peace River. We've set up shop on a park bench beside the museum in Hudson's Hope, and there's no doubt about it. It is gorgeous. The Peace River Valley stretches out below us as far as the eye can see, and in front of us, a crowd has gathered to watch Radio West live in Hudson's Hope, so thank you for that. Kick back, relax. We've got another hour to talk farming, sightseeing, and of course, the beauty that is the Peace. We have just a chance of showers in the Peace tonight, down to about the freezing mark. Sun and cloud tomorrow, highs of 12 degrees. A few clouds in Kelowna and Kamloops, getting down to about 2. And then tomorrow, we've got sunshine again, and 18 degrees is your high. Prince George this evening, cloudy, down to about minus 1. And then tomorrow, a beautiful day. Sun and clouds and 17 degrees. And Josh Page is back.
I think we'll just bring a little bit more of that Peace River. You know, so I ran down to the water there, Rebecca, maybe, what was that, an hour and a half ago?
Before the show, did you manage to get right there and put your hand in it?
I did.
And?
It was very cold.
Yes.
And excellent. That sound we're hearing, that's a little waterfall that goes right into the Peace River, which, you know, when we came into town, everybody was saying, well, it was a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, the fall colors were out and wonderful. I thought it was beautiful as it is. We've got big, steep banks. There's islands on this river. It's a very wide river, and it has that mountain greenness that's just so special. And I thought it was incredibly beautiful as it is, despite, you know, the fall colors being knocked down by some of the wind. So I can't imagine what it looks like 2 weeks ago or perhaps in the summertime. It's a special, special place, no question about it. If you get the chance to visit it, it's more than worth it. That one traffic note still remains, Rebecca. We talked about this last hour, the Kootenay Lake Ferry, still looking at a one sailing wait. That is because of high traffic volume both directions. You're probably looking at about half an hour to an hour on the Kootenay Lake Ferry. So that's the major delay right now at this particular moment. Not seeing any major power outages right now on Hydro's website. But if we get any in the next hour or so, we'll make sure we mention that.
Okay, Josh, thanks very much for that. It is 13 minutes now past 5 o'clock Pacific. Now, we've been hearing from many different voices today on Site C, and we couldn't come to the Peace and talk about Site C without meeting up with Mr. Ken Boone. Now, many of you here will know Ken. He's the president of the Peace Valley Landowner Association and a farmer whose land will be directly affected by this project. Ken has taken the matter to court, and his case is currently winding its way through the system. Now, that's not cheap. Ken has raised $250,000 to cover the legal expenses. Ken and I met up at a rest stop on Highway 29, a beautiful spot overlooking the Peace River. Here is our conversation.
Well, this is the lookout over the Peace, where the Halfway River comes in. And so actually right now what we're seeing is Tompkins Ranch down below there, and they're combining wheat on that river bottom field. And and of course what we're looking at there would all be flooded if Site C ever actually gets built.
How far will be flooded of what I'm looking at right now? Because we are looking at lush farmland right in front of us, so how much of that would be gone?
So, okay, you see that vehicle there with the trailer? Yeah, and there's the where the grain bins are. Uh-huh. I think there's about to that level, I believe. I think it cuts right across the flat at that bench there. So, and then of course there's probably erosion lines back above that would slough in over time.
How much of your land and how much will your livelihood be affected? Just sort of run down your own property and what this project would mean if it does indeed flood.
Well, it would flood all our farmland. You know, we have some hillside property, but you know, it's only good for the wildlife, you know, winter and ground really. Yeah, our farmland and our home would be gone. And then of course across the creek, the campground that we run, it would be gone. The road, the proposed highway goes right through the middle of the campground buildings. So yeah, you know, I mean personally, of course we're impacted pretty hard.
How long have you been fighting Site C?
Oh, I guess ourselves about 15 years now. You know, of course, it was kind of a done deal in the sense that in the 90s, the government basically decided that was it. Site C was never going to happen. And that was the understanding from Mark Ellison, from who was the CEO of Hydro at the time and the government of the day. And it wasn't until, I guess it was the early 2000s. I can't remember the date now when Site C reappeared and got back on the radar and slowly built into what it is now, of course.
And where it is now is that it has environmental approvals. And I don't know if your court case is still winding its way through or what has happened to your appeal.
Yeah, so we have an appeal in the BC Supreme Court. The First Nations have an appeal in the federal. And they also have a judicial review coming up in BC Supreme Court just here shortly in a month. A very strong one, I might add, dealing with the permit. So the legal battles are definitely not done. This government is, they're just using a heavy hammer to beat this project through. And it's almost like right now, it's almost like BC Hydro is following suit with their contractors. You know, as to our knowledge, there's no federal permits for them to be working in the river yet. They've walked feller bunchers and button top loaders through river channels to get to that first island to log it. And they fell a tree with an eagle's nest. And we have photos of an eagle sitting in that tree just 2 days prior to it going down. So, and that, to our interpretation of what an active eagle's nest is, it's going against the rules. So we're following up with all these issues, and it ain't over.
You say you've been fighting this for 15 years, and there was a time when you believed this wouldn't happen. We are now at a time where you're watching crews making way for this. How do you feel about all of this? You're quite attached to this land, so what emotionally it must affect you.
Oh, yeah, no, most definitely. It's pretty tough, we've transitioned from fighting a project that was proposed to fighting a project that has started. This is new territory, in the 35-year history of Site C. It is tough. It's discouraging. I've been over there. I've been down on the river. I walked on that island while the feller bunchers were falling them trees. It's pretty tough to watch, that old growth forest down in the river bottoms. It's tough. It just chokes me up to see that. British Columbians have to wake up to just how tragic a project this is. If it was just about jobs, there's a lot better ways to create more jobs with less taxpayers' money without such an impact, there's so many other solutions other than flooding a valley. It's just craziness.
You stand over this right now, and I saw this today for the first time, and it has a wow factor. You look at it, it's amazing. I mean, when you look at this and imagine that the landscape could be altered dramatically, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it's going to be hard to sink in if the further they go with this project. I mean, look at all those islands in this river. They're just a treasure for habitat and wildlife, where is there another valley like this in British Columbia? There isn't. This is a treasure up here in the far north. And look at that farmland. Low elevation. That's Class 1 farmland that they're combining on there right now. You have to go all the way down to Quesnel to meet that, to match that. And with climate change and the changes that are coming, we can't be doing this. And that's why we're not giving up.
What do you do if your court case fails, if the other two fail?
I don't know. You got any suggestions? I don't know. It's hard to say. Saturday, there's a protest being organized at the Old Fort Road entryway into the Site C project. Liz Biggard, our local, the candidate for the Green Party in the federal election, she's actually the one organizing it. because she's just outraged by it too, and she figures it's partially a federal issue as well, and it really is.
Have you thought or have you imagined what your life will look like if it is flooded? I mean, have you thought about what you'll do if you'll sell to BC Hydro, or what your next step would be?
Well, no, not really. I mean, eventually it would go to expropriation. It's kind of funny, actually. Well, funny. I'm the president of the Landowner Association. I have not heard from one landowner yet who has been approached by BC Hydro about buying their property, which seems kind of odd when they're building the dam, you know. But, you know, my take there is that they're still watching the court cases and they're not sure this project's actually going to go through yet. You know, it's just wrong. It's just not right to build Site C. It's a mistake. And I think, you know, I mean, many of us think say so already, but our grandchildren are going to be saying, what the heck were those people thinking? You know, so yeah, we just have to stop this project. Right now, what we need is a delay for it to get reviewed properly. And we're, you know, the government's not listening.
That is Ken Boone. He is the president of the Peace Valley Landowner Association. And it is 9:21 after 5 o'clock Pacific. And you are listening to Radio West live from Hudson's Hope. Now, of course, the Site C Dam is politically charged, and that's where Rob Shaw comes in. He is our political columnist and a legislative reporter for the Vancouver Sun, and he joins us on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Rob, you've been covering this story for several years now as well. We've heard from Ken Boone, who's, you know, very much opposed to this project, and so many people are, and the government presses on. Why does that happen in that way?
Yeah, it is, you know, I'm sure from his point of view and from others that you've been speaking to up there, it's a very frustrating situation to watch the provincial government charge forward with Site C while not addressing some of the criticisms that people have raised. I think you have to look at the premier herself, what kind of premier she views herself to be, and how she kind of thinks she fits in into the political history of the province. We spoke just the other week about her appointment of Brad Bennett to the chairmanship of BC Hydro. He's the grandson of W.A.C. Bennett. We talked a bit about the legacy of the Bennett family that Premier Clark sees herself as kind of the heir apparent to, and you know, W.A.C. Bennett, his name is on a dam as well, and he was kind of viewed as that legendary builder of the province who looked, you know, with some type of vision decades down the road that what he was doing, and maybe it was unpopular at the time as well, is kind of viewed now by people as a necessary, critical part of the province that is required to keep going. And, you know, Premier Clark views herself or likes to view herself in that same way. She's a big vision, big project, big risk kind of premier. And so a project like this, almost $9 billion, the most expensive in the province's history, the last big hydroelectric dam that BC can build, this is right in her wheelhouse, the kind of thing that her government loves to embrace. There's, you know, there are benefits, there are jobs to be created and that type of thing. But the other main one that I think you have to keep in mind is the dream for an LNG industry, which is only a dream at this point. There's no guarantee that's even going to happen. But if it does, that requires power, a big draw off the power grid. And, you know, the government is looking at Site C as a way to help feed that demand in the future, even though some of the facilities will probably be powered by natural gas as well. So you have all of those issues, and then you have BC Hydro struggling through massive rate hikes and trying to figure out how it's going to provide power for the future. And building one giant dam and getting it over that hurdle and getting it built is a much more sure way for Hydro and for the government to say, look, we've addressed the power needs for the province than a whole bunch of smaller projects. So it's a little bit less risky for them as well. So there's a lot of considerations on the type of leadership and the type of premier and the type of government that they want to be down here in Victoria.
We have heard from Ken Boone and from others about these court challenges that are still winding their way through the courts. How much weight do you think the government is putting on those? And are they listening, and are they at all concerned that it could actually, those court challenges, stop this project?
I don't think so. I get the impression from the government, from the various ministers, not just on this file, but on other files, that they view court challenges is kind of the price of doing business nowadays. Someone is going to challenge something, and while that may have been a significant hurdle in the past, people and the government might have stopped and thought, are we doing the right thing? Now they just view that as par for the course. So there are court challenges. You know, you were speaking to Ken earlier, and some of them have very good arguments in them, especially the First Nations component and the issue of First Nations land title rights and the legacy of the Chilcotin Supreme Court decision and what that means for the government's obligation and duty to consult before it takes away and destroys land that could be used for traditional Aboriginal purposes. Those are big arguments, but the government is of the mind that it's just going to charge forward. It's going to start building this thing. It's much better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission or wait for the courts to settle it out, which is very frustrating, I'm sure, for people who are part of the court challenges who think they have very valid points, and no one from the government is listening. Instead, the bulldozers are there. They're starting prep work and clearing things and knocking down trees. So it must be frustrating, but it's the government's, and they've said this on lots of different projects. Court challenges are to be expected, and they're just gonna charge forward.
We know the NDP has said it's officially against this now after the vote this session. Does that mean anything in the grand scheme of things?
Well, to go back to your first question, another reason why government charges forward with this politically is that it really does jam the NDP. Site C is a huge headache for the New Democrats. There's a lot of confusion within the NDP on where they actually stand on this project. The party did vote against a motion in the legislature just the other week that was supposed to be a motion in support of Site C. So technically, on the books, they voted against the project. But, Leader John Horgan came out afterwards and he tried to couch that a bit and say, well, we want to take Site C to the BC Utilities Commission for evaluation and then we'll make up the party's mind. The problem is it's not going to the Utilities Commission, and everyone is well aware of that now. Government has exempted it. It's, despite recommendations and urgings, it has no desire to send it to the Utilities Commission. So it's not a very clear position from Mr. Horgan to say he'll wait until the Utilities Commission has looked at it. It's a huge wedge issue. It's divided people in the New Democrat caucus. It puts the party back in the same position it was in 2013, which is it has an environmental wing of people who view this project and other projects as needlessly destroying the environment, agriculture, fisheries, that type of thing. And then there's a wing of the party that represents construction workers, represents blue-collar unionized jobs, the people who are going to be working potentially at Site C. And the conflict between those two sides and how the New Democrats can oppose a project that a lot of its members are going to work for, but not support a project that's also potentially hurting the environment, they're still stuck in that box, and the Liberals are exploiting it and jamming them on every issue that they can, and this is a huge one that they've stumbled into in the last couple of weeks.
So if the court challenges aren't able to stop the project, we only have a few, less than a minute left, but is there a chance that those court challenges could stall or slow down the project?
It seems unlikely. If the court was to issue some type of injunction or the court was to get involved, obviously the government would have to pause. But the thinking down here is that there's a lot of prep work to be done. There's a lot of, they're building the housing accommodation for workers now. That's one of the things that are going on. And that can continue until the government is absolutely and convincingly told by the courts that it has to stop. And that they've made a decision, a political decision, not popular amongst everyone, but a decision that they made to charge forward. And right up until a judge says otherwise, that's what the government's going to do.
Okay, Rob Shaw, thank you very much for this. Rob Shaw is our columnist. He is a legislative reporter for the Vancouver Sun. And you're listening to Radio West here on CBC Radio 1. If you haven't heard, we are in Hudson's Hope, where you're listening to us at 88.3. And we do have a lovely group of people gathered with blankets on and warm jackets and mitts, because it is a little nippy out here. But thanks very much for joining us and for everyone back home listening to us as well. Well, you've heard plenty about the agriculture potential in this area. And for Kate Vince, it's already a reality. After growing up on a farm, she is now working the land herself and running a small market, but growing produce market in Hudson's Hope. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rebecca.
And congratulations. You have a baby with you right now, 10 days old.
Yep.
Which is a story in itself, I hear.
Yes, it is.
Gave birth on the highway?
Baby was born at the halfway lookout.
That is amazing. I think she deserves a round of applause just for doing that. Here she is on the radio. That's incredible. Tell us a little bit about the market. When did you start it?
This is actually the first year that it's been up and running. There's 3 acres of land in total, and we only have an acre under cultivation right now. We sell at the farmer's market here in Hudson's Hope, and we're planning on expanding next year.
And what's the growing season like for you?
It's been a great growing season this year. We had, you know, usually you get 5 months at the most of a growing season. This year was about 6 months, so
wow.
It was great.
And what are you growing?
I grow everything from lettuce to pumpkins to... We grew some watermelon this year. It was great. It was a fantastic year.
Rocking the baby as she's doing this interview. Everyone can't see this, but an amazing woman, obviously, in front of us. Why is farming something you wanted to do?
Well, I think that food security is very important, especially up here, where typically we have higher prices in the grocery store than anywhere else.
Okay. And what? How do the prices vary here versus what you might see in other parts of the province?
I'd say we probably have about 10% higher prices up here in the grocery stores than we do anywhere else in the province.
What's been the reaction to having a farmer's market, a local farmer's market here in Hudson's Hope?
We have great support in Hudson's Hope, and there's, in the whole Peace region, there's really good support for the farmer's markets. In Fort St. John, there's a huge one. In Hudson's Hope here, we have usually about 6 vendors at the most, but we have a really great support group that comes and purchases from us. So
for someone who works in agriculture, how important do you think agriculture is to this area?
I think it's incredibly important. I mean, up here in the Peace, specifically along the valley here, we have the only Class 1 agricultural land north of Quesnel. So it's pretty amazing that we can grow watermelons and pumpkins up here.
What do they taste like? Are they good?
Oh, yeah, they're fantastic.
Do you see fruit and veggie production increasing here, or where do you vision this going?
Well, specifically for us, I see it increasing. You know, we're planning on expanding by 3, basically, for next year. Hopefully more and more people are going to start growing their own produce, and, you know, you get so many more benefits from it economically and health-wise, so...
And can you make a living doing this?
Yeah, I think you definitely can. There was a market garden that ran for, I don't know, probably 4 years up further at Bear Flats. And they made a great wage doing it.
Now, we can't let you go without talking to you a little bit about Site C and what impact you believe it will have on farming in this community.
In this community specifically, there's I know quite a few people who are losing land, arable land, to Site C, and further up at Bear Flats, that market garden that I was just speaking of, it's going to be underwater as well. So we're losing a lot of agricultural potential because of Site C.
And how then, between now and next year and the years following, do you hope to grow your market?
Well, we're expanding within our 3 acres, and I hope to... Actually, I've been approached by the grocery store here in town to sell local produce for next year, so...
Nice.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the whole community is kind of on board with local agriculture.
And what happened, before we let you go to, what happened with your delivery? How did that all happen that you gave birth on the highway?
Oh, it was a very quick delivery, and we just didn't make it to Fort St. John. My partner ended up catching the baby at the halfway lookout, which is halfway to Fort St. John.
Wow. And what's the baby's name? Is there anything tied to the delivery situation?
No, we kind of had the name already picked out. So his name's Augustus.
Okay. Well, congratulations. And I'm happy to see Augustus here happy and healthy.
Thank you.
That is Kate Vince. She's a farmer in Hudson's Hope. She also runs the local farmer's market. And it is 18 minutes now before 6 o'clock Pacific. You can hear that river rushing below. That's the Peace River, of course. You're listening to us at 88.3 in Hudson's Hope. And if you're in Kelowna, we're at 88.9 and in Prince George, 91.5. Well, if you have been to Hudson's Hope, you'll know a mainstay in the community is the little store on Beattie Drive. It's called Marg's Mini Mart. But after 24 years, the owner has put the business up for sale. I dropped by the mini mart earlier today to find out why.
Hi, my name is Belinda Carlin. I'm the owner of Mark's Mini Mart in Hudson's Hope. My name is Belinda. Yes, it was a previous owner. She was Marg. And when we came here to buy it, it was such a rush deal that I didn't have another name at the time. So I thought, you know what, just to respect the name, I just left it as Marg's.
And how did you end up in Hudson's Hope? Where are you from?
Originally, we're from New York. And we were on an adventure. We originally came here to BC to become outfitters. And so we had an entrepreneur visa, and we came here to find the guide outfitter, but it never worked out. And because we loved it here so much, we decided we wanted to stay, and we needed to be entrepreneurs, so we bought the store.
So you've been here in Hudson's Hope for 24 years or more?
24 years. My husband and three children.
Wow, so you raised a family here?
Yes.
And what was that like?
It was interesting because coming from Long Island, New York, not that it's a lot bit different, but it is quite a bit different. And so there's a lot to offer here, same thing as any other place. So we just become to love the area, and it was good to raise a family. It's a small community and very close-knit, and it's good.
And are you a Canadian citizen now or not?
Guess what? Yes, I am. As of a month ago, we just became Canadian citizens.
Why? Why did it take so long?
Well, we had our landed immigration, and we never knew that we could do other until one day they asked us. So we thought, oh, can we do that? And they're like, absolutely.
Wow.
So we did. It was a big deal, and the inauguration in Prince George was amazing. And it was my husband and I for now, and then the children will follow later. And it's just a decision that we made. We didn't want to make the decision for the children. So we're excited, and we were happy and very emotional. Yeah, we like it.
And why are you selling the store now? How long has it been for sale?
2 years.
Oh, really?
And I have grandchildren, and the family's growing, and they live down south in Kamloops. So we just need to be more connected, and this is a busy place. So I need some time now for me.
So tell me about that. How? Because right now it's not busy. So when do you see the boom? Right? I mean, there's me here right now, but people have been wandering in and out. But I'm assuming there are times during the year that it gets busy.
Yeah, it does, and it's unexpected sometimes. We can rely on the summer with the tourism and the summer people coming boating and fishing and camping. We have that. And then oil and gas has kind of pumped it up a little bit, and there's the this and the that. So it just is unexpected, and it can be busy at any given time.
You can come on in. Sorry.
Please,
are you butlering?
Yeah.
Are you getting anything else?
No, just diesel. Please.
Okay.
So what has been the reaction from folks in town? If you've been here 24 years to know that you're so hoping to sell, what have people been saying to you?
Same thing you said. Why are you selling? I've put in everything that I had and then some. It's been great, but I want to move on now. And then they asked me, well, what are you going to do, Belinda? What's in the future? And I don't know, but I'm sure there'll be something.
Is your hope then to move south to Kamloops?
Part-time. We do have a house down there.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, so part-time we would like to, but we don't want to leave here. We like it here.
What do you like about it so much?
The wilderness, the mountains. I've come to love the mountains and just the vastness of it all. The small community, because it feels like a family. It's beautiful here. Whether it's summer, winter, it doesn't matter. It's really gorgeous, and it has everything to offer if you're willing to accept it.
Lots of buttons to push.
Yeah, that's the gas.
So you've had it for sale for 2 years, so have you been just sort of hoping? What happens if it doesn't sell?
Well, I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere.
Until it sells.
It is my baby, so I care about it a lot. So hopefully it just takes the right person to come along mm-hmm. and want it.
Will it leave a bit of a hole if it's gone? I mean, if no one buys it and keeps it as a store?
I don't think that will happen. I think someone will come along and it definitely would leave a hole. This is a very... I think this store has been around for almost 50 years. There's a lot of history to it. There's been myself, previous, so probably three owners.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Belinda.
How are you guys?
Good.
This is the owner, Belinda.
Hi, how are you?
So, Can we take a look at
absolutely.
Okay.
If you need any.
Yeah, so you pop in here. Nothing like, you know, giving me what's for this today.
So what does it feel like to have someone coming and looking at it for the first time?
It's exciting and nerving. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully something will come of it.
That is Belinda Carlin. She owns Marg's Mini Mart in Hudson's Hope. And today, while I was visiting the store, Belinda's first prospective buyers dropped by to have a look around. And you're listening to Radio West. We are live from Hudson's Hope with a chilly-looking crowd. They're looking progressively chillier as we've been going on these 2 hours, but they are...
But loyal.
But they are here, hanging, and they are loyal, there. And they are smiling now, so we do appreciate you sitting here all this time with us. And thanks to everyone at home listening to us live from Hudson's Hope. We're on a park bench next to the museum. Joining me now is Lee Summer. He owns property along the Peace River as well and will be affected if Site C goes ahead and the flooding actually happens. And actually, Lee, you have a long history with this river and flooding. Tell me about that.
Yes, I do, actually. My grandparents homesteaded in this valley in the 20s, and we actually were flooded out in the upper dam along with many other locals and natives. Mainly the Beaties were one of them. And so it goes back a long time. I was flooded out and watched my fields go under the water in 67. It was pretty traumatic. And we watched the next dam go, and we thought we can support that. But at this time around, my passion has got to a point where I just don't understand why they're moving ahead. I think the Peace River has more than done enough. And I think it's time for us to look at other ways. W.A.C. Bennett had a very good vision when he talked and decided to build these two large projects. But things have changed in 50 years. I think there are definitely other means. There are definitely other means that are renewable. They are less impacting. They can be spread around the province. There's been a lot of back and forth on this project, but I think the main point I would like to make today is simply this. I was almost discouraged and ready to give up the fight, but recently, something happened within the province, and I think they're listening to us. The UBCM unanimously supported a move to send this thing to the BCUC. We've all said that up here from the beginning. And I think if our senior government doesn't follow through on that, they're disrespecting all the residents of this province. And having said that, it's really hard to watch somebody push something through when they don't go through the due process. They have skirted the process because they knew they would run into opposition from BCUC. So I'm really passionate, and I'm invigorated by the fact that the rest of the province is now listening to us. So I will leave it there and ask and wait for some questions.
So can we just go back to, you know, how you were affected all those years ago in the 60s? You make it sound like at the time you said, I let that one go. I mean, were you willing to support that project at the time?
I think most people even here were agreeable to the province going ahead and developing that. That was good technology in those days. Yes, I think most of them support it. I think we were discouraged by the way we were pushed aside and behaved and handled at the time. But we can't go back, and we supported that. But things have changed.
And how was your land affected? You mentioned you were flooded out, but just give me a sense of how much farmland you lost.
We lost probably 500 acres in the valley. We had acres that were replaced on the upper levels, which were much less quality. But we were different than the rest of the people in the valley. Our home was not actually flooded. It was above water level because we had a coal mine up there. And I really felt for the Beaties, who basically lost their dreams, their homes. They were told, you have to leave because it's going to flood. And they walked away almost with their tails between their legs and were poorly compensated. And that, I don't think that was even Bennett's vision. That was the way things came down. And he had a good vision, but it's too late for that.
If anybody would have told you in the 60s that you'd have to go through this in the 2000s, 2015 we're talking about this, what would you have said at the time?
I wouldn't have thought so, because even though early on I think we heard the stories of site of the Bennett Dam, Site C, Site 1, and down the river, but we thought no, that's not going to happen. And we supported Dinosaur Lake, the site one. It's flooding a canyon valley. We're not creating another Dinosaur Lake. We're going to be creating what I call a industrial wasteland between here and Fort St. John by building this lake, because the whole valley will slough in and it'll be a huge environmental disaster. And they just say, well, it's worth the impacts. That's not good enough to me.
And you say, you know, all these years later, surely there are other ways to produce power. What sorts of suggestions do you have for the province?
Well, there's three come to mind, and one is thermal energy, one is wind energy, and the third one being solar. And there's a lot of other jurisdictions are using that. And I think BC is sitting in a prime position to use those kind of energies. And we have the best possible situation in this fact that we have 90-95% of our hydro now developed, or electricity produced by hydro. It's a beautiful battery to back up whatever we choose to do. But I think the Peace River and hydro is 1800s and 1900s technology. Let's move forward. Let's use that as a backbone to move into the 21st century.
And when you hear MLA Pat Pym say that, you know, alternative energies are fine, but you still need firm power, as he says, what do you make of that argument?
Well, isn't 95% hydro in BC enough firm power? It's more than enough. I think 50 to 75% hydro to back up the system is more than enough. We don't need to stay at 95%.
You say you're reinvigorated to fight. What more do you do now? Because we know construction has begun. We've been hearing all about that this afternoon. So where do you go from here?
That's a good question, but I don't think we can give up the fight. And I think we, as citizens of this province, I think we should all feel disrespected if this thing doesn't go to the BCUC for an independent review. It's like if I took and went out to my chicken house and told the fox to watch the chicken house, that's what BCUC, or that's what BC Hydro and the government have done. They've done their own self-assessment. That's not independent and transparent.
Okay, Lee Summer, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That is Lee Summer. He owns land on the Peace River. And you are listening to Radio West live from Hudson's Hope. Radio West here on CBC Radio 1. This has been a special live broadcast from Hudson's Hope. We are on the park bench next to the museum here. Lots of people have come out today, and thank you all for coming. Thanks for making this such a special trip for me and Josh. It's been pretty awesome. What a special time. What a special place. The Peace River behind us, and we are sort of teetering on a cliff here, but we're all right. We sure appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night, everyone. We'll be live from Fort St. John tomorrow.